The epistle for the Sunday within the octave of Christmas is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Galatians, chapter 4. Brethren, as long as the heir is a child, he differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed by the Father. So we also, when we were children, were serving under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem them who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God hath sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore now he is not a servant, but a son, and if a son, an heir also through God. And the Holy Gospel. Taken from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 2. At that time, Joseph and Mary, the mother of Jesus, were wondering at those things which were spoken concerning him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and for the resurrection of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be contradicted. And thy own soul a sword shall pierce, that out of many hearts thoughts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Aser. She was far advanced in years and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow until 84 years, who departed not from the temple by fastings and prayers, serving night and day. Now she at the same hour coming in confessed to the Lord and spoke of him to all that looked for the redemption of Israel. And after they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, to their own city Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong, full of wisdom, and the grace of God was in him. Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. Thy own soul a sword shall pierce, that out of many hearts thoughts may be revealed. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, the Gospel we read for today's Mass reveals to us the presentation of the child Jesus in the temple, which is also the fourth joyful mystery of the Rosary. This mystery of the presentation commemorates the very first time the incarnate Son of God entered the Holy Temple after his birth. It was also at this time when the purification of Our Lady took place. And St. Luke records this in his second chapter of his Gospel. He writes, And after the days of her purification were accomplished, that is, 40 days after Our Lady gave birth to the Christ child in Bethlehem, she and St. Joseph took the child and traveled to Jerusalem. They went to Jerusalem according to the law of Moses, which said that every firstborn male child was to be brought to the temple to be offered to Almighty God. And while the Holy Family was there in the temple, a holy man named Simeon also was there. The Gospel says that he was just and devout, and that the Holy Ghost was in him. In fact, Simeon had been promised by the Holy Ghost that he would not see death before seeing the Messiah. And thus on that day, Simeon was drawn by the Holy Ghost into the temple where the child Jesus was. When Simeon approached the Holy Family, Our Lady offered her divine Son to him. And Simeon took the infant Jesus into his arms. Not only did he see the Messiah, but he was also privileged to hold him in his arms. He held the Son of God made man, who had come to save his people from their sins and to be a light to the entire world. The Holy Ghost had fulfilled his promise to Simeon. As he held the infant Jesus, Simeon was filled with joy, even as he was divinely inspired to speak. he spoke a canticle of praise and blessing to Almighty God. And the words Simeon spoke, the church uses each night at the divine office, which is her official public prayer. Simeon said, "Now thou dost dismiss thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word of peace, because my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to the revelation of the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel." But after he spoke these words of joy, Simeon turned to Our Lady, and he spoke words of sorrow. He spoke to her under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, because he prophesied what the Christ child was destined for. As Simeon gave the child back to Mary, he said to her, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and for the resurrection of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be contradicted, and thy own soul a sword shall pierce, that out of many hearts thoughts may be revealed." These words of Simeon foretold the crucifixion of our Lord. For our Lord was set for a sign which shall be contradicted. That sign of contradiction was the cross. For we see in the cross the vertical beam in complete opposition to the transverse beam. And Simeon also foretold the sword of sorrow, which would pierce the deepest recesses of Our Lady's soul. How these words must have filled Our Lady's heart with sorrow, even at this joyous occasion. One commentator explains what these words meant concerning Our Lady. He says that the Blessed Virgin was a martyr, and more than a martyr, he says. For whereas the sword pierced the bodies of the other martyrs, it pierced the soul of the Blessed Virgin. He says, as Christ in his passion was tormented more than all the martyrs, so too was the Blessed Virgin by her compassion with him. In other words, all the pains our Lord suffered in his passion, Our Lady suffered in the depths of her heart. And this commentator goes on to say that by this torment and sorrow, Our Lady would have been overcome and would have died had not God preserved her life by his special support. St. Bernardine of Siena says, "So great was the Virgin's sorrow that if it were divided among all creatures, they would all perish immediately." In a word, at the presentation at the temple, Simeon foretold what terrible sorrows awaited our Savior and his Holy Mother at Calvary. Now, my dear friends, what this bittersweet scene of the presentation tells us is that even in the midst of this great joy, Our Lady still suffers. The presentation, as I mentioned, is the fourth joyful mystery, but it is also mingled with the first sorrow of Our Lady. You know, this reminds me of that beautiful Christmas hymn of St. Alphonsus de Liguori. Christmas is one of the most joyful times of the year. But there is found in this hymn a trace of somberness or sorrow. In St. Alphonsus' hymn, he wrote of the Christ child, "What sorrow he will know in giving us his love. What sorrow he will know in giving us his love. And these words can also apply to Our Lady. What sorrow she will know. And what this means is that wherever we find our Lord and our Lady, the cross will not be too far behind. In other words, you cannot separate the crib from the cross. And what this means for us is that we must not be surprised when our crosses come, but rather we should embrace them in imitation of our Blessed Lady. She saw the cross as an opportunity to imitate her divine Son, and at the same time to show her great love for us. And so in return for this great love, let us do the same. Let us offer up our daily crosses to make reparation to her Immaculate Heart. And also, one of the greatest opportunities you have to make reparation to the Immaculate Heart of Mary is on the first Saturdays of the month. You know, even if you have already made the five first Saturdays, still you can come to make reparation. The first Saturdays are not just to receive the promise Our Lady made for those who fulfill her requests. The first Saturdays are for her. It is to comfort her Immaculate Heart, which has suffered so much for us. My dear friends, a new year is about to come upon us. I encourage you then to resolve for this upcoming year to persevere in this first Saturday devotion to Our Lady's Immaculate and Sorrowful Heart. You have it in your power to make a special reparation to the heart of our Blessed Lady. Comfort and console her by fulfilling her requests on the first Saturdays, by going to confession, by saying the rosary, by giving 15 separate minutes of your day to meditation on one or all of the mysteries of the rosary, and most especially by receiving her divine Son in Holy Communion. Do these things and you will be a great comfort and a true consolation to the Mother of God. And so as we consider this presentation of our Lord at the temple, let us be mindful of the sorrows of Our Lady and be generous in this special first Saturday devotion. Because you can be sure that the Mother of God will not be outdone in generosity. She will come to your aid and be your consolation when you are most in need of it. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.